Yeah, I had failed when I was looking. I was looking this way, so that'll be my excuse. I was looking this way. I forgot to mention about the children's shoeboxes that we have here on the altar. So last Sunday, up in the nursery, it was transformed into kind of like a Santa's workshop. I mean, it was really neat. All these young children, you know, those boxes, the majority of them were packed by the children of our church with some help from our youth group. And then there are some boxes that I know families have brought in. But those will be going all over the world. And, you know, a neat thing, when I was in Zimbabwe on a mission trip, I met children who received these boxes. So they actually will leave this area and will go all over the world. So very cool, very excited about that. So thank you. You know, another prayer request I would have for us, next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday of another church plant in our circuit here in Pittsburgh North. There'll be a church that will be gathering in the Legion Hall up in Butler, starting a new Global Methodist church. And so I've been traveling up there on Thursday nights and helping with that church plant. Greg Douglas has been helping with that as well. Very thankful for that. Thankful that at the beginning of the Christian year, that this new church start will be beginning next Sunday, first Sunday of Advent. So, yeah, I'll just place that before you guys. Wanted to share that with you. So we are in the section of 2 Corinthians that discusses the important and sometimes uncomfortable issue of generosity. Chapter 8, Paul uses the Macedonians as an example of faithfulness, an example of incredible generosity, that although they were facing very difficult times, although they were experiencing their own poverty, Paul says that they were marked by abundant joy, right? Because it wasn't their circumstances that affected them, it was their relationship with God. That the Macedonian church insisted on giving to the cause and gave far more than anyone could reasonably expect. And though much of what Paul has to say in chapter 9 seems to repeat itself, there is a different emphasis. Because in chapter 9, Paul talks about the benefits of giving, about the upside of generosity. And so let's begin with our scripture this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Paul reminds us here that there is a correlation between the amount that you give and the blessing that you will receive. And really, this is true in all things. That the more that you are involved in a project or an event, the greater your sense of satisfaction when that project goes well, when that event goes well. That the more you are involved in your community, the greater sense of ownership and blessing you will have. The more you do in a remodeling project, the greater your satisfaction you feel when the project is finished. I know, you know, in my house, you know, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. An amateur do-it-yourselfer. One of the first things we did at our house is that we had a Pittsburgh potty, and we know what Pittsburgh potties are, right? Disgusting. Well, my father-in-law and I, we redid it, and it's in the basement, and it's still the only bathroom in the house I'll use, right? Because this is the bathroom that I labored on, you know, it's the, you know, the shower that we put in, the extra lines, water lines we put in, I have a lot of ownership in that bathroom. Like, that's my bathroom, which sounds really weird to say out loud in the midst of a church service, but like, that's the bathroom I connect with. And so again, that wasn't in the script. It's never a good thing. Don't go off script. Well, Paul points out to the attitude. Paul points out that the attitude with which you give is essential. And people will give for several reasons, right? Sometimes people give out of a sense of duty, right? They feel like they have an obligation to give, that, because you're members of this church, you have a sense of ownership in what Concord is and does. And that's a good thing. And so there's a sense that you have to, or you need to give. But that's not the heart that God wants us to give with. You know, some give in hopes of gaining salvation. And though we would never say it out loud, we tend to feel that the more that we give, the greater chance we have of going to heaven. And again, that's not true. Right? We are saved by grace through faith, so that no one can boast. It's not a result of works. Right? We will never do enough. We will never give enough. We will never serve enough to earn salvation. Right? Jesus paid the price, and that's the only way we get to heaven. You know, some will give in order to gain prestige. They give because they want to be noticed as being generous. They want to appear as being significant. They know their name will be put on a building someplace. They may receive prestige from the world, but it is not a gift to the Lord or for an advancement of his kingdom. And when we give because we want to gain prestige, we've already earned all the blessings we're going to get. It ends right there. Some people give because they're hoping to receive material gain. You know, there are many people who give because they believe that if they give to the church, or if they give to God, God's going to multiply their gift and they're going to end up with more money. And once again, this is not giving to the Lord. It's giving out of a selfishness, and it's about gaining more for ourselves than giving. I think the final reason, and the reason why we give, is because we want to be an agent of grace. God wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to joyfully join him in the expansion of his kingdom. And in a sense, God is giving us an investment opportunity that he wants us to enthusiastically support. He wants us to support his work in the midst of the world. You know, earlier this year, we found out, Concord, we found out that we were going to be eligible for some funds from the government. This return grant, I'm not sure what to call it, but they were giving money back to businesses that kept employees employed during the pandemic. I think it's a return of some of the federal tax money that we paid during that time. And I remember earlier in this year, We talked about the possibility of this found money. And it was decided months ago that if this money ever came in, that we were going to tithe it. And that we were going to give that tithe to Trinity Community Church. Right? That's the church that Pastor Dennis Henley came down and spoke to us about. It's the very first church plant in the United States that became a chartered church, you know, and Concord was a part of that. You know, there are many of you in this room that have visited that church. And we found out some of this money started coming in. And so later this week, a check will be going out from Concord to Trinity Community to bless their ministry. You know, this is the leadership of your church. And this is the attitude, right? The leadership of your church want to be agents of God's grace. And to be able to give freely. Let's continue with our text. Paul says this, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest, enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You know, Paul here is reminding us of some important truths. First, God is the one who provides what we have. And when we give, we're not giving to God what is ours. We're giving to God what he has entrusted us with. Because in a sense, we don't truly own anything. And this is what the Bible calls stewardship. Stewardship is how we relate to the material things of this world. A steward is someone who takes care of something for someone else. If the company that you work for puts you in charge of operations while the head honcho is gone, it doesn't automatically become your company. The company still belongs to the owner, even though you have been given authority to manage things. You know, everything that we have is on loan to us from God. Yes, there are a lot of wonderfully hard workers in our church. But God is the one who has blessed you. God is the one that put you in a place for you to succeed. God has entrusted all things to us. And so we need to handle them with respect. Secondly, God has entrusted us with these things so that we can be generous. You know, he returns a blessing to us for the very same reason, so that we might be more generous. When we develop a spirit of generosity, the Lord is eager to help us become more generous. He will provide the opportunities and the resources to meet those opportunities. He gives us more because he knows that he can trust us, that whatever he gives us, we will use to build up the kingdom of God. And then Paul goes on to share the results of generosity. He says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of their surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You know, what are some of the effects of generosity? Well, the first one is that God is going to be honored. Paul says that when we are generous, people will praise God. People will thank God. He also says that they will give glory to God because of our obedience. Right? And this should be our goal, to encourage others to know and experience the love of God. And so when we give, that's one of the ways. You think the people who are going to be receiving these, they're going to give thanks to God because they recognize it didn't come to them out of their own efforts, but it was a gift. And when we do what God wants us to do, we act as his hands and feet in the world. And people will see our actions as God reaching out to them. You know, it could be local, as in our worship services, our youth group, or service down in Pine Valley. It could be national with the Jacobs that we saw, the video, or in West Virginia. It could be international, like some of our work in Honduras or Hungary or Russia. And because of obedience, because of our willingness to be generous with our time, our talents, and our treasure, God is praised and honored. Secondly, needs will be met. And again, this is a very practical piece. When we support children through various organizations, we'll make sure Children have food and medical care and education. By giving of ourselves, we are willing to be inconvenienced for someone else. When we are willing to be inconvenienced for someone else, we will meet real needs. And we must never forget this. We are not just paying bills. We are extending love to people in very tangible ways. Third, Paul says that we're told that the recipient will pray for us with deep affection. And once again, you know, this is a blessing to us. You know, this is the benefit of us simply obeying God and being generous, that the person who receives this act of kindness will thank God for you and I. They may pray for us by name, or they will ask God to bless those who have blessed them. I remember on my first mission trip to Nicaragua, I was sitting around a campfire one night, and we were talking about the various reasons why we were there. And the pastor's wife, who was there in Nicaragua, we were building a church, she shared how she had prayed. You know, she had prayed to God that God would send a group of people to come and help build a church for them. And it changed my view of generosity at that time. Because when we give what we have, right, when we give our skills, when we give our time, when we give our finances, you know, those things that God has entrusted us with, we get to become the answer to someone else's prayer. And that God wants to use each and every one of you for this kind of kingdom work. And that when we release our grip on our time and our skills and our finances, we can become the answer to someone's prayer. You know, many of us crave to hear a parent or a spouse or a child or an employer say, "Well done, I'm proud of you." And we know that someday those who serve the Lord faithfully will hear those words from Him. And as far as I'm concerned, no reward will equal hearing those words from my Lord. The way that others respond to our generosity is how we should respond to the generous blessings of our God. That our God provided for our deepest need. He saw the deep stain of our sin, and He removed it through His Son Jesus, who paid the awful price that we all should have paid. Jesus suffered the wrath of God that should have been directed towards us. Jesus made us into new creatures, even though we thought we were beyond redemption. His love and His sacrifice should motivate us to praise God. And we should be forever and constantly grateful that we have been made new by the love of God. And that there shouldn't be a moment that goes by where we don't realize that in Him we live and move and have our being. And God has invited us to be a part of His great work and changing the lives of others. And He invites us to do this work with Him. You know, it's never a pastor's favorite topic to talk about money, to talk about finances. But it isn't something that should make us uncomfortable. You know, on the contrary, God is inviting us to take part in the opportunity to do something special, lasting, and life-changing. He is inviting us to help with His kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And He wants to use these things that He has given to you to make that all possible. And so let's go to God together and ask him how we should respond to his word to us. And let us pray that we would become that blessing to the world that he wants us to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your challenge and your promise. Lord, first of all, your promise is that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you have freely forgiven us, Lord. You have given us more than we could ever ask or imagine. And we are so thankful for that, Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that out of a response to you, Lord, that we would give you all that we are. Open our eyes. Loosen our grips. And help us to be the blessing to this world that you have called us to be. And may you be glorified through our faithfulness and our obedience. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.